Good morning. We're in part three of our series where we're talking about the warrior. And I want to begin by asking, do we have any warrior princesses in the house today? All right, that's good. All right, guys, do we have any warriors in here today? Oh, man, that testosterone kicks in. That's good. Today, we're going to talk about the wounded warrior. What we're going to deal with may be a little painful for some of us because we're going to talk specifically about the relationship between a warrior and his children, specifically his son. Psalm 127 says, "Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them," means he has a lot of them. "They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate." In other words, blessed is the man who stands strong with his children. Blessed is the man who is close to his sons and they fight together against the forces of evil. Now, if you're here today and you had a great relationship with your dad or you had a great relationship with your children, you are very, very blessed. I had a great relationship with my dad. You've heard me talk about him in messages. He was my hero. He was my mentor. I think I had a great relationship with my children. I hope they would say the same thing. But unfortunately, many fathers and sons do not have a good relationship. In fact, it's very common for a son to feel wounded by a father. Doesn't mean the father intentionally tried to wound his son. Doesn't even mean it was always the father's fault. In fact, sometimes the son just misinterprets the father's actions. In fact, you look throughout Scripture, you find all kinds of tragic examples of father-son relationships. David was a warrior. He was a king, a man after God's own heart, and yet his son, Absalom, tried to kill him. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau, and they were fighting over their dad's blessing. Jacob had several sons by four different women, and you remember the relationship between he and his favorite son, Joseph, and how the other brothers felt really wounded by their dad, and they even tried to kill Joseph, their brother, and ended up selling him into slavery. Or in the Bible, in Luke chapter 15, there's a story about a dad and two sons. The youngest son went to his dad before he died and said, "Give me my inheritance up front." He went out and spent it all and blew it. The older son stayed home, took care of the farm. One day, the younger son lost all his money, came home. His dad threw a party, and the older son was wounded. He said, "Dad, is this your favorite? I've been here all the time, and you've never done anything for me." You see, some of you here today are grown warriors. But inside, there is a little boy that's crying out, "Dad, why do you think making more money was really going to make us happy? Dad, why couldn't you have spent more time with me?" Excuse me. "Dad, why were you drunk most of the time? Dad, why did you treat Mom like you did? Dad, why did you leave us? Maybe it even wasn't your fault, Dad, and yet you still carry that wound around today." I want you to know this message today is not to bash dads and fathers. Instead, we want to honor you and encourage you because you see, at the same time, we've got to come here today and acknowledge that many of us have deep wounds, and we want God to heal those wounds so that we can move on with life and reach our full potential. In the last verse of the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 4, God sent a prophet, Elijah, to say something rather incredible. It says this, "God will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers." And my prayer today is this message will do the same thing. If you're wounded and you're hurting as a dad or because of what your dad did to you, that we would be able to turn the hearts of the dads back to their kids and the kids back to their dads. Listen, warriors. Deep down, you wanted your dad's approval, your dad's affirmation. In fact, you wanted him to validate you as a young warrior, and maybe for some reason, you didn't get that. And when you don't get that validation, here's what it does. The warrior who has starved for his father's approval is sentenced to a prison of performance. Because we believe that our value is based on what we do rather than who we are. And so we go through life saying, if I just accomplish enough, then Dad's going to notice me. Then Dad is going to compliment me. But no matter how much we do or accomplish, we still don't feel loved. And until the wounded warrior heals and learns to accept the unconditional love of Jesus Christ, we're going to spend the rest of our life trying to perform to get somebody else's approval. If I could sit down and talk with every one of you today and ask you one question, if I just had one question I could ask that I think would tell me volumes about you and your upbringing, I would ask you this one question: tell me about your relationship with your father. And I would just listen. I've used this question for years in hiring people. And it's a pretty true pattern that if you have people, especially sons, that have never had a relationship with their father or have never been able to reconcile with their father, and they feel very estranged, often it's difficult for them to work in an atmosphere where they have to follow someone else's authority. Or if you have a son that grew up and did not get his dad's affirmation, they often go through life doing weird things trying to prove that they really are the macho man. Daughters get their sexuality from their father. And if they don't get their dad's approval, when they get into high school age, that's where troubles really begin to start, because they seek approval through sex, and they will try to have sex to please another man because they missed their father's approval. So let's talk a little bit about how can we heal the wound that maybe many of us have. Number one, the warrior must acknowledge the wound. First thing is, we've got to admit we got some wounds. We've caused some problems. Our life hasn't been perfect. Look at Psalm 109. Again, this is David the warrior, who was a man after God's own heart. And yet, David wounded his family. David was the man that had sex with another man's wife while he was off in the military. And then when he found out she was pregnant, he ordered his military general to put her husband in the front line so he would be killed. And so here's what David says, as he's a wounded warrior, in Psalm 109, verse 22. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I fade away like an evening shadow. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees give way from fasting. My body is thin and gaunt. I am the object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they just shake their heads. Help me, O Lord my God, save me in accordance with your love. Let them know that it is your hand, O Lord, that you have done it. You see, the first thing is, as David's saying, God, I got problems. The warrior must acknowledge the wound. Now you say, why do I have to acknowledge the wound? Because hurt people tend to hurt other people. A hurt animal is a dangerous animal. I remember growing up as a kid on the farm, we had some cats around. We had an old tomcat that was a pretty good cat. And yet, every once in a while, he'd run off to the neighbors and get in a fight with some of the other cats. And when he would come home, if he had some marks on him, if he was bleeding a little, his ear was about half torn off, when he would come home, you'd look at him, he didn't want you to pet him. It's like, hey, I've been beaten up, and I'm going to take it out on you. Hurt animals, what, are dangerous animals. Hurt people are dangerous people. That's why, you see, if we don't admit our wounds and we don't admit we're hurting, we go through life living in denial and deception. Art was a salesman, and Art loved to buy unusual things. And one day he came home with a robot that was actually a lie detector. Later on that day, their 11-year-old son came home from school. He was 2 hours late. And the father said, son, why are you late? Where have you been? And his son said, well, Dad, several of us went to the library to work on a school project. And the robot walked around the table, whopped him up along the side of the head, and knocked him off his chair. The father said, son, this robot is a lie detector. Now tell me where it was that you went. He said, well, we went to Bobby's house, Dad, and watched a movie. His mother said, what movie did you watch? Tommy said, The Ten Commandments. Again, the robot walked around the side, whapped him along the side of the head, knocked him out of the chair. Tommy got up and said, I'm sorry I lied. We were watching The Sex Queen. The father said, son, I'm ashamed of you. When I was your age, I never lied to my parents. Robot walked around the corner, hit him up along the side of the head, and knocked him off the chair. Marcia, the mother, doubled over in laughter. She said to her husband, you asked for that one. He said, relax, honey, you can't be too mad with Tommy. After all, he is your son. And the robot walked around the table and hit her up along the side of the head. And that's when things started getting really interesting in that house. I'm sorry, my humor is a little different. My son, he gets to go to car washes and meet Fabio, and he has great stories to tell, and I just have to come in here and work a little different, all right? If our wound is going to heal, we've got to be honest with ourselves and just acknowledge we got some wounds. We're hurting. Number two, the warrior must forgive his father through Christ. Colossians chapter 3 says, forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. How? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Some of you may be thinking, wait a minute, you don't know what my dad did to me. There's no way I could ever forgive my father. How can I do that? It's very simple, yet it's difficult. It takes the power of Almighty God. We are asked to forgive others. Why? Because we're asking the Lord to forgive us. Stop and think about it. We've caused the Lord some wounds, haven't we? We haven't always done things that pleased our Heavenly Father. We've said some things. We've done some things that has broken His heart. I think one of the ways to forgive our Father through Jesus Christ, we talk often about palms up versus palms down. And sometimes if we're not careful, we approach God with situations, with wounds, with hurts, and we say, God, I just want you to help me with this situation, and I'm turning it over to you, and I want you to take care of it. But if He doesn't take care of it, when we want to, how we want to, what do? We play God. We grab it back. If we're going to forgive our fathers through Jesus Christ and ask for the forgiveness of Almighty God, we got to release it to palms down and say, God, I can't deal with this. I don't understand the hurt. I don't know why they did this to me. But if I'm going to move on with my life, I want you to know I'm releasing it to you and I'm letting you have it and I'm going to move on. How do you heal the wounds and hurt from your past? First of all, you got to acknowledge you've got a wound. Secondly, you got to forgive your father through Christ. And thirdly, you must accept your father through Christ. Romans 15 says, accept one another just as Christ has accepted you in order to bring praise to God. And how do you do that? Well, you got to love your father for who he is, not who you want him to be. You got to love him for who he is, not who you want him to be. Because here's the struggle. You see, most young boys idolize their dads growing up. Then what happens? The boy gets older. He gets in high school. Or he becomes a young man. Or he gets married and raises his own family. And his father begins to fall off of the pedestal. Because why? He begins to see his father a little differently. You see, when you idolize your dad or your mom, and they can never become everything that you wanted them to be, what? You feel wounded. Now, for all of us moms and dads, most of us can never achieve what our children want us to be. If you stop and think about it, most of us can never be what most of our children want us to be. So what do? You've got to look past the pain of your childhood, and you got to find the good in your childhood and accept them and thank God for them. Dads, I want to talk to you about three things that are crucial if you want to empower your sons. Number one, you must empower your son by saying, son, I believe in you. Son, you have what it takes. He has to hear this over and over again. You are talented. You are amazing. You're the man. You have what it takes for God to do some amazing things through you. Secondly, you got to say, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, son. You are a young man of great integrity. You are kind of others. You are very considerate. I admire you. Number three, no matter what, I will always love you. Don't assume, warriors, that your children know this. You've got to tell it to your children over and over and over. No matter what, I'm going to love you. No matter whether you make $1 million or you're broke, I'm going to love you. No matter whether you graduate number one in the class or you're in that half of the class that makes the top half possible, I'm still going to love you. Do you remember how God empowered His Son for earthly ministry? Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Let's say this out loud together. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. As I read this, listen, this was at the baptism of Jesus Christ. And I think God was saying for everybody there at the baptism of Jesus, listen, people, I want you to hear me. This is my boy. I'm crazy about this kid. He's a chip off of the old block. He's kind of like me in the flesh. I'm pleased with him. I am proud of him. He's going to get the job done. Follow him. Warriors, you need to understand the power of verbal affirmation. I didn't do that near enough. Most of us men aren't verbal enough when it comes to affirming our kids. Women, on the other hand, tend to be much more verbal in their affirmation. Just stop and think how mothers talk to their sons, how they talk to their children. Come here, you little Care Bear. Come here, precious. Come here, sweetie. You are so cuddly. You are so cute. I just love you. How do fathers talk to their sons? Come here, you tiger. I'm gonna come here. Let's wrestle. Show me your muscle. Man, you got some guns. You are the man. Now, listen carefully. I think it's vital for all of the men here at CCV to understand one thing. I want you to affirm your sons, your children, but I also want you to be aware when you see single moms walking around campus, you see single moms in the children's area, I would like to ask you men to go out of your way to go up to the boys and the kids of that single mom and you affirm them as well. Because there might not be a dad around to affirm them. And you come alongside them and you say, you boys are incredible. You boys are great boys. I am glad you are here. You're amazing. You see, most of us, again, as men, we've really got to work on giving verbal affirmation. Because stop and think about it. The way most of us guys compliment each other, us guys, we cut each other down. That's how we compliment each other. Think about it. Guys, we stand around, talk to each other, and we say things like, hey, how does anybody as ugly and stupid as you get a woman as beautiful and awesome as that? I mean, was she blind when she was dating you? You know? And what will another guy say? Oh, you klutz, you jerk. Oh, man, you're incredible. Shut up. I love you, man. You know, that's kind of the way men talk. We kind of cut each other. Now, I want to ask you, as you give compliments to your children, remember one thing. Learn to compliment character instead of performance. Because we live in a culture today that we praise performance that goes by quickly, but I believe it's character traits and character values that will literally go the distance. So make sure when you're giving out affirmation, you're rewarding character. You say things like, you know what, son, I'm so proud of you, the way you stood up against that bully at school, or the way you stood up for your sister when she was getting picked on riding the bus home from school. Or I'm so proud of you that you will want to go to youth group every week and you'll go out of your way to invite your friends and bring them with you. Or I'm so proud of you for the way that you realized you were running with the wrong crowd in high school and you had the courage to tell your friends, I'm not going to do that. In fact, I'm going to get some other friends. Or I'm so proud of the way you read your Bible every day. Son, you are a warrior. You're a warrior for Christ. You have what it takes to make a huge difference in this world for Jesus Christ. Dads, our kids have got to hear it over and over and over. Speak it to them all the time. Because the more we tell them that, soon they're going to start believing it. And once they believe it, then they will live up to it. I recruited for a Christian college for 4 years. I've been in the ministry for 40 years. And there's one thing that continually breaks my heart. And here's where it is. It's when Christian parents, many of you, never encourage your kids to go into full-time ministry for Jesus Christ. I hear Christian parents all the time tell their kids, when I talk to them about being preachers, I don't want my kid to be a preacher. Not going to make enough money, going to have to deal with a lot of criticism. I don't want them to do that. Listen, the church is the only hope of the world, people. And if you want your kids to really make a difference for eternity, you ought to encourage them to go into ministry. Now, we need Christians in all areas of life. Don't get me wrong. And some say, I want them to be doctors. I want them to be lawyers. I want them to do this and that. That's okay. But we need missionaries and ministers that will go across town, across the street, across the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, I've told my kids that from day one. I want you kids to serve the Lord in a powerful way. I tell my grandkids that all the time. You know why? Because they're good kids and somebody else is going to be telling them to do other things all the time. I'll even tell you up front, if I see your kids running around campus and they're good kids, I'm going to pull them aside and say, hey, I want you to be a preacher someday, because nobody else is telling them that. And I want to challenge them till they lay their life on the line for Jesus Christ. I would encourage all of you parents to seriously think about sending your kids to a Christian college. I'm not getting paid now as a recruiter for saying this, but you know why I did that? That's why I encourage my kids big time to go to Christian college, because the most important thing, Wilson 4:2, is not your college degree. It's who you meet at college that becomes your life mate. That's one of the most important things you will do. So the chances of getting a Christian spouse are a little better at a Christian college. And so I strongly encourage that. Because you see, again, you can have the best degree and make the most money, but if you're not yoked together in Jesus Christ, what happens? Oh, you'll be successful, but you'll be miserable as you grow older. So I just want to encourage you moms and dads. Listen, we need you to encourage your sons and daughters to go in the ministry full time. Why does the Mormon church grow so rapidly? Oh, because they have great family values. No, that is a lie. I can show you in Utah, which is the center of Mormonism. I'm not trying to bash that. I'm just telling you the truth. Highest rate of teenage suicide. Highest rate of abuse. We don't hear that. You know why the Mormon church grows rapidly? Because most of the Mormon families have committed to sending their kids on a 2-year mission and paying for it. And if all of us who say Jesus is our Lord and Savior would tell our kids to go be missionaries for 2 years and we'll pay for it, can you imagine what would happen to the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world? Our mission at CCV is to what? Win people to Christ, train believers to become disciples, and send disciples to impact the world. I pray that our church would not be known for our attraction ability, meaning how many come on the weekend, but instead we would be known for our sending power. How many people are going out into this community, into the schools, into the poor areas, to people down and out, to people up and out, that we're going everywhere with the good news of Jesus Christ. Warriors, one day, some of you will be blessed by a son. And someone will speak to your son words that will either be the richest compliment or his most painful insult. What are those words? They're going to say to you, you know what, kid? You are just like your father. And when you hear that right now, for some of you, it gives you a pain in your stomach. For others, the buttons want to pop off your shirt. Because deep down, you really wanted to be like your dad. Men, warriors, what kind of a legacy do you want to leave with your sons and daughters? How do you want to impact them for eternity? I want you to watch this video from one of our staff, Andy Frank, our worship pastor, and let you hear about the legacy and the relationship and the struggles he went through with his father. Why don't you watch this?
Growing up as a kid in the Frank home was an adventure. There were four of us. I was the oldest, had two younger brothers and a younger sister. So life was never dull around our house. Both of my parents are Christ followers, so we grew up with Christian values and were really involved in our church and serving. One thing that we really valued, though, was that family time and making memories together. I was very close to my dad growing up. He was my hero. He was the man that I aspired to be. He was a man's man. He was a godly leader. He was a godly father, wonderful husband. He was very involved in our lives. He was a great encourager. And he was somebody that not only our family looked to, but other people looked to as well. People really looked to him as a person of influence and integrity. He was a leader in our church. And he would tell me, you know, one day you're going to impact a lot of people for Christ. And you're going to make a difference. So, you know, I grew up with that type of encouragement and that support. I remember the day almost like it was yesterday. It was Wednesday, September 17th, 1997. I was 20 years old and 2 months away from my wedding. And my world was about ready to get blown apart. I got a call from my mom that Wednesday afternoon. She said she wanted to meet with me after church that night. So I met with her later on that evening, and she began to tell me that my dad had been living another life. She had caught him in some lies, and we found out that he had been having an affair with another woman for almost 2 years. Well, I was shocked. I felt like I had the wind just kicked out of me. I was completely devastated. When your hero, the guy that's raised you to live for God and live one way, goes and makes a decision and lives the complete opposite, it really makes you question all the things that you've been taught and even the beliefs that you have. Well, my dad's infidelity and some other really bad choices that he made eventually led to my parents' divorce. And I remember the shame and the embarrassment that we felt as a family. And even the fact that some of these some of these feelings began to drive a wedge between me and the rest of my family at times. It was a very difficult time for us. And I remember the battle that was going on in my mind, especially asking myself, is this how I'm going to end up? I realized that I was going to have to make a decision on how I was going to respond to this. Sure, I could have embraced my anger and I could have turned away from God. And, I chose to turn to Christ because I realized that I needed to embrace God's love more now than ever. I needed to understand God's forgiveness and forgive my dad. I needed to understand God's acceptance of me and learn to accept my father through his mistakes and through his failures. And, now I realize that through this, God can take what seems so bad and he can use it to build us up if we choose to turn to him.
Application question I want to ask you today is simply this. Are you leaving men a legacy of pain or praise? A legacy of pain or praise? Some of you men here today are going on a track that's not honoring God. You lack integrity. You're wounded. And you are hurting the people around you. You see, sin does not honor God because sin will leave a legacy of hurt and pain. And so rather than becoming a spiritual warrior, some of you are becoming destructive warriors. Men, lukewarm Christian fathers raise sons that don't know how to take a stand. I'll repeat that. Lukewarm Christian warriors raise sons that don't know how to take a stand. And yet some of you men here today, you're pursuing a godly life of integrity. Some of you have said, I'll lay down my life to honor and serve my wife. You made a decision to stand up for truth and righteousness no matter what the cost. You're leading in our church. You're leading in your home. You're leading in the marketplace. You are warriors. You see, men, I believe your sons and daughters have the best chance to succeed in this world when you empower them with spiritual truth, when you model godly values for them, when you affirm them constantly, and when you pass the baton of faith correctly. There are many of you here today that you really want to be warriors. You've heard the message. You want to live with courage and passion, but maybe you have some doubts. And you're asking yourself, Pastor Don, is there any hope? Is it possible for me to be healed from all of my wounds that I've incurred in my life? Is it possible for God to forgive me for the hurt I've caused my son or daughter? And the answer is absolutely, absolutely. The old song says, what can wash away my sin? What can wash away my pain and my hurt? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Every week at Christ Church, we have a time of communion. And I pray because we do it every week that you will not see it as a 4-minute break and a chance for a little fast food, but you will see it as a time for you to focus in on Jesus Christ. Because you see, as we meet together and partake of this holy meal, it is the central thing of why we gather together. It is to remember that without the shedding of blood on the cross, there is no forgiveness of sin, and we live continually with open wounds. And we never heal. But because Jesus loved us enough to give his life for us, then we have the opportunity and the ability to what? To heal and forgive others. So I pray today that you would take this time to simply heal. Say, God, thank you for forgiving me. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for helping me work through the hurt that maybe I've caused to others. In a minute, I'm going to pray. The servers are going to come. They will have a tray with some bread, some cracker on it. That's a reminder of the body that was broken as it hung on the cross. Then drink the juice. It's a reminder of the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sin. Return the cup to the tray. Pass it to the person next to you. Let's spend some time, if we can, right now during this communion time, of simply letting go of our hurts and asking God to heal us so we can move on. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for loving us. We acknowledge that we hurt. We acknowledge that we have pain. We acknowledge that you are the solution. And so I pray right now that we wouldn't be God and try to control it palms up, but we would come to you palms down and we would say, Lord, help me. Help me with the hurt that I've caused. Forgive me for the pain and help me to move on and become all that you want me to be. Lord, right now, we bring our hurts to you, and we thank you for your grace and your healing mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.